This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas, powered by U-Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Keith Kam. This is The Breakfast Grill. Bomba Malaysia says there were nearly 25,000 fire incidents in the country in the first 6 months of 2020, resulting in losses totaling 1.2 billion ringgit. Many of these happened in residential properties. Not surprising, since commercial and industrial properties are governed by stricter fire prevention laws. These range from fire extinguishers to sophisticated automated systems. This morning, we speak to Ryan Liu, the executive director of a company in the business of fire protection systems, Unique Fire Holdings, which is set to list on Bursa Malaysia's ACE market on August 5th. All right, Ryan, Unique Fire has been in the fire protection system business since 1975. How did UFH start?
It started from my dad, the founder of the company, Mr. Liu Seng Hoi. My dad started as the contractors. He's the installer of like fire safety system. So in 1997, after being in as contractor for that long, so he decided on the 1997 to become a distributor of fire safety system. And actually, he slowly managed to transform the company of being a distributor to become assembler and also a manufacturing nowadays.
What do fire systems entail? I mean, it's not just fire extinguishers, right?
Yes. You are right that we are not only manufactured fire extinguishers. We are in this line of business where we call active fire protection supplier system, which means that our equipment is to use to suppress the fire. So other than that, we have a range of the products. For instance, that we have a fire suppression system, we have fire extinguisher system, we also have detection system, wet and dry system, sprinkler, and on.
What do your clientele look like?
My clientele, that actually my major customers, they are the contractors, and we call them the installers of fire contractors. What they do is that they purchase the fire safety products from us and they install in the building.
It's a family-run business, I gather.
Yes, it's a family-run business. We are the second generation of the business, of the company.
I mean, with so many family members sitting on the board of directors, what does this look like? I mean, I'm sure you must get these questions a lot. The word nepotism, I'm sure, comes up.
Yes. I think that these are very cool questions, and actually a lot of people that we know, they already ask these questions to us. So I'm thinking that, yes, first of all, I enjoy working with our board of directors, also the promoters of the company. Actually, the family values, most importantly, that all of us, actually, we inherited the values of the founder, which is my dad. And all our four brothers, Marcus Liu, he is our sales and marketing directors. And I'm the engineering directors. So Roy Liu will be on the operation directors. And Ray Liu will be on as the creative director. So you can see that four of us, actually, we have the very clear and defined role.
Be that as it may, a lot of investors who want to put their hard-earned money into a company like this, they would be thinking, when there are crucial decisions to be made, blood is always thicker than water. I mean, how do you ensure that the interests of the company as opposed to the interests of the family would be put in the forefront?
Yeah, I think that right now, that's one of the purpose that we want to bring the company to the next level. Is that by going listing, because if you know that this listing, they have a structure that you have to you have independent directors to be in the company, and also you will not be the same as how we make a decision before. So we need to be open-minded or being open-minded and ready to be comments by the independent director where they represent the public. So definitely, I think that the whole process that we have been through until the listing, we are very used to all these structures. So we have to change the things that we have done before to get a better result than we have done that. And we are very confident to move forward with these new structures of making decision-making.
The business that UFH is in is very crucial. I mean, if something goes wrong, someone dies.
Yeah.
So, you're operating in a very regulated environment. Tell me how that is. What sort of regulations do you guys have to comply with?
Okay, first of all, that we have to comply when we need to sell the products in Malaysia, that we have to have approval from our fire authority, which is their Bomba. So to get that approval, that product, we must have submit some of the test reports from our suppliers to them. Then they will evaluate them, and then they have to give you these certificates. So I was saying that in our business, that the standards is the most the crucial. So to maintain that standards, so we need to be like audited from this approval body, such as like CIRM, like UL, or like FM. They will come to our office and audit us to make sure that actually our products is like up to their standards.
I want to talk about the rationale behind the decision to list. Why are you guys going to the capital markets? Initially, you said that it was to raise the profile of the company, to bring it to the next level. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's to raise funds.
Yes.
Credit is quite cheap these days. I mean, interest rates are still fairly low. Why list?
Okay, we have a lot of few purposes, but one of the major ones was to elevate our profile. So going forward, that we hope that we have like our future potential customers and suppliers, they have more confidence in us when we carry the status of like being a listing company. So in company, you know that when a company have to go to the next level, you have to find ways of like raising fund. Like you say, is that like borrow from the bank, all these things. So we are thinking that how can we like strike two birds with like one stone to elevate our profile. At the same time, we can tap into the equity market to have the most cost effective way of like raising the fund. And other than that is that raising the fund. And at the same time, one of the important things that we want to have a win-win situation with our supplier, customers, and also our employees that have been with us for a long time. So we want to tap into investing community that where they can invest into our company through equity markets. So if our company doing well, so they will also be doing well. So I'm thinking that there's another purpose that we want to be listed.
I want to talk about the prospects that UFH sees for this industry. I think the whole world is facing some form of inflation right now. As important as fire safety is, Malaysians, unless you force them to do it, it's mandated, they are not going to spend more than they need. I mean, insurance is one example. Now there's a slowdown in the property market as well, meaning a slowdown in construction. And you just said that these are some of your clientele, your suppliers. Yep. I'm sure that must bite into your earnings expectations. What is it like?
Definitely, the inflation, it does affect us. There's like two parts of it, where we have like our strength. Our strength will be still on the, we call it the indirect distribution channel, where we sell directly to the contractors and they do installation. And actually, that part of that business actually contribute around like 90% over. For that part, there is a mandatory requirement by our fire authority. So it's a very regulated bodies that you must have to install fire safety system in the building in order for the owner to occupy that building. So in saying that, all right, so on that part, and okay, regarding inflations, and most, all right, we import around like 70% over from like our raw materials, and 30% over they are like steel. And you know that the steel price has been fluctuated over the years. And we are very hopeful that we have a very good business relationship with our supplier that we have built with them for the past 25 years. So we have to work together with the supplier where we monitor the price of the steel price commodity like every week there. So we know that when the steel price is like low, and then we have the time that we need to like purchase them from the suppliers, that we buy in bulk so we can have a better discount from them. So sometimes we are also able to transfer the price to our customers.
Also, I can see your revenue appears to be on a declining trend. Yes. 80 million in 2019, 76 million in 2020, 63 million last year. Why is that? Is cost an issue?
Cost at that time, like cost is not that issue. The main issue is because of the pandemics. Just to share that actually our month end closing will be in like April. Now it's like March 31st will be our year-end closing. And if you could remember, in like 2020, that time the MCO started on March to April, that's the 2 months that actually we have like lost our revenue because the construction, they are not allowed to operate. Mm-hmm. Even though at the time that we have the permissions from the committee, because we are considered as a mandatory sectors, but unfortunately the constructions, they are not going. So we have like lost 2 months of like revenue on that part. But however, like moving forwards, we can see that the economy sectors they are growing, because we have the numbers that for FPE 2022, actually we have a 17% of like revenue rise, which is from the 46 million to like 53 million, and this is the sales from the backlog orders that actually they're supposed to deliver during the MCO period and have been carried forward. So we are very hopeful that
But your profit margins have declined from 29% to 26% currently.
Yeah.
Does this mean that it is being addressed right now with the improvement in the economy, the reopening of the economy?
Actually, we are confident with the opening of this economy slowly. Actually, we can come up back to the numbers that we had prior for the pandemics. So the decline of the profit, or like for the part of the reason for the FP 2022, will be because of the listing expenses. Because when you go listings, then part of like the profit, you have the listing expenses. We can have around 1 million of listing expenses that we have to put. And that's one of the reasons that our profit is low.
Because what I see is that your net profit has been on a declining trend.
Yeah.
For most investors who want to invest in a new IPO listing, that would be a red flag, right? I mean, I'd be worried to invest in a company that's on a downward trend.
Yes, definitely. If I'm the investor, I would have the same consideration like with as you. But that's the time. I have this opportunity to clarify what causes the downtrend of the net profit, and the major, as I said before, will be the listing expense. This is only one off. So after that, after we list on the 5th of like August, I mean, things will become normalized. And actually, going forward, yeah, there's a few factors. The cost of the steel, but now the cost of the steel has been stabilized.
This morning on The Breakfast Grill, we have Ryan Liu, the Executive Director of the Ace Market Bound Unique Fire Holdings. In a little while, we'll find out how hot this business of firefighting is. I'm Keith Kam. This is BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Keith Kam. This morning, I'm talking to Ryan Liu, the Executive Director of Unique Fire Holdings, a firefighting system manufacturer that is set to make its debut on Bursa Malaysia's ACE market in a couple of weeks' time. Now, Ryan, the 22 million ringgit listing proceeds aimed at enhancing UFH's ability to develop your own brands. What is that going to look like going forward? Talk to me about your own brands first.
For like Unique brand, is a brand that unique for us. It means that one of the kind. So just to share a bit. So what is so unique about Unique is that we order a wider range of the products to our customers, which means that our customers can buy. They treat us as like a one-stop shop. They can buy almost like major things that they want to be installed in a building for active fire protection system. Other than that, our main customers would be like farm contractor. We don't venture into like doing contracting services there because we do not want to create a conflict of like interest with them. We have a very experienced like directors and also key senior management that most of us that have around like 15, more than like 15 years of like experience that actually to provide quality products, services and also solutions to our customers.
I'm curious though, by not wanting to have long-term contracts like that, doesn't it make you nervous that you don't have that earnings visibility going forward? I mean, you're just depending on your suppliers. So if the construction industry and the property industry comes down, then your demand also comes down. But if you have long-term contracts, at least you have some buffer there.
Yes, actually, like our company, we have a track record of like the 25 years track records. And actually, for the 25 years, we also have like been through a few of like the economic cycles, like what will happen like today. But in buying and like right now, with these things, with this business strategy that we only supply to our customers and not venture into conflict of like interest, actually has helped us to go through this like these two cycles there. That's why we want to expand our business not only like in Malaysia, and as we will use like part of the IPO proceeds of like enhancing our manufacturing lines. Now we are also in the process of like developing one fire extinguishers that comply to the BIS standard that we are able to export it to like other countries.
How many manufacturing lines do you have currently?
Currently, we only have like one manufacturing line.
And that's the one in Malaysia?
And that's the one in Malaysia, you are right.
What do the expansion plans look like in terms of your manufacturing capabilities?
Okay, for the manufacturing, like we use like around like 5 million of our IPO proceeds of like to develop another two manufacturing lines.
Still in Malaysia?
Still in Malaysia. So like our current line there, we have the maximum capacity that we can produce will be around like 210,000 pieces of execution in a year. And our current utilization, we have like put in around 80%. So with the new manufacturing lines and with the new technologies that we can put in, at the same time, we can reduce the labor and also increase the capacity to like 235,000 like 235,000 of like fire extinguishers. So with two lines, actually, we can able to increase our capacities up to 200%.
All that is good. When it comes to hiring staff and labor, what challenges are you facing? I mean, everyone is.
Yes, I think the labor, the challenging that we have here is that our local labor, actually, they don't like to work in a factory environment. So that's the challenges that we have there. So somehow we have to rely on like foreign workers as well. But at the same time, we also have like enhanced our HR departments to come up with like a strategy that we're able to recruit more talents, local talents into our industry. Some of the things that we have done there, we have like provide them with like, if let's say the workers is from the other states, so we have like we have accommodation for like them. So we have like a very attractive remuneration them. We have training programs too, so we can train them and work in the factory environment. So at the same time, we also, the enhancements, like a new line, they were like the new technology that are able to reduce our labor.
In the meantime, are you currently working with foreign labor?
Yes. Our company, we have like foreign labor. We have around like, I think the numbers, we're 39 foreign employees in our company.
You brought up the fact that steel makes up quite a significant portion of your costs. Talk to me about the sensitivity that UFH faces when it comes to steel prices. How do you manage that?
Yes, like 30% of our raw materials, and they are like steels, So how we go about that is that we have a very good relationship with our supplier, that we can work together. So we will purchase in bulk when the material price is like low, and actually at the same time, with our cash flow, we are able to maintain our inventory to a certain levels. So I mean the whole process, the whole things that we are doing, we try to protect the industry to transfer this risk to our customers. So we want to work together with them as well.
Forex risk is also another major factor in your business. How do you manage that? Are you doing any form of hedging?
Yes. The way we manage it is that our managing directors actually we monitor the USD price. The main currency that we use will be like US dollars. So we more monitor than like daily. So what we have done is that we have like a foreign account. So we will buy the USD when it's low. Yeah, and actually we'll put it into like when it's low. So we will put it in the account and we use them when we need to.
90% of the distribution of your firefighting systems, you go through suppliers and contractors. Where do you sell the rest of the 10% to?
Okay, the rest of the 10%, so we call it like a direct channel, right, or like our end user, like you all. So some of them that will just they will buy directly like from us. Another 1%, actually, we have this facilities of like doing to applying the EFIS application. EFIS is like a mandatory requirement from the Bomba to register fire extinguisher to be used in the commercials. So we also have provide some services from there as well.
Is the demand growing, or are people just tightening their belts and saving money and hoping for the best?
All right. I think that, okay, if I talk about the contractors part, where it will be like related to the property and all the construction sectors, and actually we can see that it is like our revenue on that part is like growing. Yeah, from like year to year. That's why I say we can see that we have an increase of like 17% from 46 million to 53 million for FPE 2022. So that's a part we can see them improving there, increasing there. And also on the other part is that like selling directly to the end user there, and that's a part where we have to like work on it to have the numbers coming in.
What does your order book look like? I mean, I have to ask this because it's like you don't have long-term contracts, long-term clients. You must have some way of keeping a record of where you are expecting your earnings to come in from.
Yes, and actually for the order book there, like you mentioned, the way how we deal with like our customers, that we have a high inventory. So our inventory, from our experience, that we have to keep our inventory for around like 2 or 3 months to cater for the demand of firefighter safety products. So we do not have like order books. Like before, there's a steel price like fluctuations there. We do not have like order book. But now we start to have like order book for our customers that says that, oh, come on, we know that the price, we foresee that the price will increase for the next months. And also we have adopt like a monthly pricing strategies. So some of the customers, they also will lock in their orders to us, okay, before the price rise.
The prices of your fire extinguishers and firefighting systems, they're not fixed. They change every month, is that right?
Yes, before the inflations and also the rise of steel price, they're very, we only change like maybe half a year quarterly. But due to this, these circumstances, we adopt a monthly pricing strategies.
How much do they go up by every month? Ballpark?
I think ballpark around, like you can say, it maybe depends on like monthly, it can range from like 5 to 10%.
It must really eat into the demand then. I mean, most of your clients would be screaming,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think, yes. I mean, that's a part that our strategy is to like procure them like in bulk and also increase our inventory. So definitely, we must have a very strong cash flow and a very good relationship with our supplier. And actually, we are very hopeful that we have that priority, we have that advantage to do that. So in saying that, now we start to have a lot of like new customers coming in because of that they can purchase from us at this period of the time, and that's one of the way that we will increase our market share, and we really can see that our customer base have been improved from year to year, from like 1,500 to 1,700 customers today.
And all this, you're operating in a very, very saturated environment. Fitters Diversified SRI, yeah. EverSafe, 241 members registered with the Malaysia Fire Protection Association. How do you navigate in a market like this and still find the room to raise prices? Are they all doing the same thing?
From what I know, like Fitters business is much more diversified. They have like businesses like constructions, then they start off with like venture into like passive, active farm. They're selling like fire doors. And actually the business model SRI for like much more like similar to like us, where we have like we are involved in like active fire safety system. But the difference is that we do not involve in like contract services. So like going forward there, we have to come back like to the missions of our company, where we commit in like providing fire safety product, not only the product itself, for like quality services and like products. So three words that can describe why you need to buy from us is for like quality products, services, and also solutions.
And currently your in-house brand makes up more than 80% of your sales. What is the reception like in overseas markets?
Overseas market is like we only export around like 2-3% to the overseas.
Yeah. Why is that? Are you planning to grow that, or is the competition worse out overseas?
I think it's more on the focus that the management decided that we want to like enhance our profile locally and also increase our market share. So that's once we decided that, we are grateful that our customer base that for in Malaysia they have increased from like 1,500 to 1,700 today.
Coming back to your listing in 2 weeks' time, what's your dividend policy? I don't see it in the prospectus.
Yes, you are right. At this moment, we do not have like a dividend policy, but doesn't mean that in the future we will not like give dividends to our investors. Because at this moment that when we declare dividend, we also have to really look into the cash flow of the company, that we don't have to retain them for like to grow the business. So at this moment, I think that after the listing, we will focus on like expanding, implementing the business strategies and also the growth that we have in plan.
And your plans to graduate to the main market?
Yes, definitely. Main market will be our next goal. Actually, on this part, actually we are taking a step-by-step approach that we unique fire. That's one of the values that we don't rush things. We want to take a step-by-step to know how to manage a listing company. So we go into like the ACE market and we want to elevate our profile, and we believe that going to the mid-market can further elevate our profile to a next level.
Ryan, thank you for sharing with us, and we wish Unique Fire Holdings all the best ahead of your ACE market listing on August 5th. I've been speaking to Ryan Liu, the Executive Director of Unique Fire Holdings. This has been The Breakfast Grill. I'm Keith Kam for BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, where unlimited potential begins.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.